sorry that the whole clan couldn't be here today, but we've had a few different things going on, among which were some no real serious illness, but just cold passing back between each other, and we've had quite a fall at Mountaintop Youth Camp. Just mentioned a few things that have been going on. We're real thankful for the summer camp season that we had, and a few years ago we made the decision to, instead of trying to increase the size of the camp, the number of people that we could have each week, we made the decision rather to increase the number of weeks the camp is being used. And so we've done a couple of different things. We've added in the last several years, we've added a girls' week. We added a second homeschool week in the spring. And then last year, we added a new week in the fall called Daughters of Destiny, which went very well. And so we ran that again the first week of October here just a few weeks ago. And then we wanted to do something comparable for the boys, and so we're launching that program this year, trying to have controlled growth and putting on these new programs. And so Monday, actually tomorrow, we start this boys to men, ages 13 to 18, young men focused on biblical manhood. So that'll give us 10 camp weeks during our spring and fall season. And so we can't make the summer any bigger, so we're spilling over into the spring and the fall. But we just appreciate your prayers and that work. This past week we also had the autumn luncheon, which is the leaves are beautiful, which you'll get to see this coming weekend. And we have a program like that. And then we're going to host another weekend retreat. We already do our young adult retreat with the extreme weekend. We've got the men's retreat coming up November 6th, 7th, and 8th. All men that would like to come to that would be welcome. Bob Brown from Slidell, Louisiana is going to be there. And then the following weekend, the 14th and the 15th, we're having a disc golf weekend. And we had built a new disc golf course there on the mountain last year. And Mark Shelley is going to be the speaker for that weekend. We're going to have disc golf and ministry. So that's another example of a program that we've added. So appreciate your prayers for Mountaintop, and then we're looking forward to you all being up there as a group next weekend. And we've got other retreats going on in addition to the ones we're hosting all the way through the first weekend in December. So we're thankful for the facility to be used that way. Also, make mention of prayer requests for Good News on the Move team. We started off a new season, a new year, I should say, in September. And the team is finishing up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today, and then we'll be traveling south to Hinton, West Virginia, where we'll be holding a week of gospel meetings. So we'd really value your prayers for the Good News on the Move team this week, particularly in Hinton, West Virginia. Well, if we could, let's bow again for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do give Thee thanks this morning for the wonderful opportunity to gather around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we recall Christ being with us, and as even we read earlier in the book of Luke, Christ's words being spoken. And Father, would Christ not call Himself the living Word? And we all have in our hands this morning the written Word. And Father, we're thankful that we can examine it this morning, for we know that Thy Scripture is profitable to us. We know that the Scripture is profitable, and we pray that Thou would allow us benefit as we look at it now. So we commit ourselves to Thee during this time, and pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll pick up with our reading, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 5. Maybe just a little bit of a context as we enter into this. The children of Israel have looked around the other nations and sought to be like the other nations and wanted a king. And you'll remember that the nation was being currently ruled by God, and the people wanted a king. And they have had a series of judges, but now wanted a king. God granted their request for a king and gave them Saul to be the first king of Israel. And then we do know that, without going into a lot of detail, that Saul made some mistakes, disobeyed God, and then there would be a time that God would choose himself a king, not the people's choice for a king like Saul, but God would grant the people's wish, but give them his choice for a king, and that would be David. And so here we read a little bit about the situation. Let's read it to have it fresh in our minds. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 5. And he said, this is Samuel, the man of God, said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, Jesse's oldest son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all thy children, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, David, from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the Lord will add his blessing to his word as it's read in public. And we have an opportunity this morning to consider some of these things that we find here in Scripture. We know that the account that we have here of David being brought in and anointed as king, we find those things probably familiar to us, and we all take account. Now we've got that fresh in our mind, and probably every Sunday school child could tell us about the battle between David and Goliath. And we know as we in our adult years, as we grow in our maturity, we can look back at these things and not only look at them as a Sunday school story, but find out what God has for us in lessons of these things. You know, our topic really this morning, the thing that, as you consider the life of David, there's many different aspects that you could look at. You know, you've got David in the early years and things that we see in his life that we could pattern that are good. We've got David making a great mistake, and we can look at his life and learn from that. We've got David as a king, and he was a good king, a great king, and lived a great life, and the heritage that he passed on to Solomon, the advice he gave to Solomon. There's so many different things in David's life that we could look at. You know, this morning I would like to look at David's life, some of these sections in the life of David, and ask ourselves this question, and that is, what type of person is it that the Lord seeks to use? What type of person does the Lord want to use in everyday life? And we see that God definitely had a plan here, didn't he? The man of God, Samuel, thought he might be able to choose who that would be, who God's choice would be for service. Jesse, the father, had in mind, his own mind, what he thought might be God's choice for service. And then we don't know what David thought, do we? He was there tending the sheep. But we do know that David was God's choice. So what is it? What type of person, who would be the people that God would choose for his service, for his work? We know that God in his whole redemption plan, has put together something that that you and I, we wouldn't have come up with, would we? We know that even as the Lord Jesus Christ would give his life a ransom for all, that as he would come, not in the sense of a king dressed in robes of velvet or in a splendorous way. He would not come in this way, but come born in a manger, would come to live a humble lifestyle as a carpenter's son, would not go and overturn all that those opposed him, but rather be yielded to give his life on the cross and be killed by those that opposed him. We know that God's plan has been revealed to us, and then he would choose out men and women as he would return back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit would come and indwell each and every true believer. He would say unto us, ye are my witnesses. And God's plan would be carried out, would be told by you and I throughout the rest of earth, life here on earth as we know it. And so that's God's plan being revealed. And so now, would he choose, what type of people would he choose? And here we find an example in the Old Testament that God chose David. You know, let's ask ourselves this question. Are we interested in being used of God in his plan? We say, well, that's a simple question. Of course, you know. No, really. Are you interested in being used of God in God's plan? That is a question we all need to ask ourselves, isn't it? Because, you know, as we examine our lives, and you're the only person that can really shine that spotlight onto your own life, right? I mean, you know you better than anybody else does. And so we have to answer that question. Am I interested in being used of God in his plan? And so as we answer that question, we say, yeah, I am interested in being used of God. We might examine our whole life and just say, well, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my, the things that I have control over, my time, my resources? It makes a difference, doesn't it? If I want to be used of God, it's going to make a difference who I marry. Shouldn't that make a difference? It's going to make a difference where I choose to go to school, or if I choose to go to school. It's going to make a difference where I choose to gather with the Lord's people. All these things are there. I want to be used of the Lord. So we say, who does God want to use? And then we ourselves ask ourselves the question, am I interested in being used of things, being used in God's plan? Now, let's just say that our answer to that question is yes. I am interested in being used of God. Then we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I interested in the things of God? Am I interested in the things of God? And let's look at some scripture that would help us answer that question. As you think about that, what are the things of God? What pops into your mind? What are the things of God? Look at 1 Timothy with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look down at verse 12. We're thinking about, am I interested in the things of God? I want to be used. I want to be used of the Lord in my life. But now I know that to be used of the Lord, I need to be interested in the things of God. And let's see what some of these things are listed here as Paul is writing to Timothy and encouraging him in the things of the Lord. He says in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And we'll pause right there and just consider these things that here Timothy is telling, Paul is telling Timothy to be an example. Am I interested in being used of the Lord? Well, I should seek to be an example to others. But what the main thing I want to key in on here is not only that he's an example of the believers in these things, the word, conversation, and charity or love, and the spirit, and faith, and purity. But the thing that I think is crucial is in verse 13, that we would give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Now, what do you think that's referring to? It's referring to God's Word, isn't it? That if I want to be used of the Lord in His service and God's plan for my life, I want to be used of the Lord, I need to be in His Word. And there's no substitute for that. Gotta be in His Word. Give attention to the reading. Give attention to where there's exhortation being given. And give attention to the doctrine, which we know we find in the Word of God. We find the wonderful doctrines, the doctrines that help us to build our faith. There's some examples given in Scripture, aren't there, about the Word and reading the Word. I think about the example given in the book of Psalms that talks about he that meditates on the Word day and night is like a tree planted by the river of water. And that tree, what, flourishes, but the one not, the leaf would wither, you see? And so we want to be used of God, and here we can look back at David's life and see that this guy was interested in God's Word, wasn't he? I mean, he was used to even write God's Word for us. He was interested in, and probably the Scripture that he had would have been the Pentateuch at the time, but then God used him as the Holy Spirit would inspire David to even write, put into writing much of the book of Psalms that we have. Interested in God's Word. Look at First John 3:16. Here's something else as we think about being used in the service of the Lord, that we would prepare our own hearts. Look what else God's Word says in 1 John 3 and verse 16. Want to be used of the Lord? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Now we know that fact, but look at the second half of this verse. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, as we find ourselves trying to be interested in being used of God, we need to know His Word, but then we've also got to seek out to love the brethren. Who are the brethren, right? Look beside you. We got to seek to love one another. We're told that, and we seek to love the brethren in a way that we would lay down our lives for one another. And does that mean that we're having to go be a sacrifice for the other guy, or one guy's dying of cancer and I've got to say, no, let me take your cancer, I'll die for you? That's not what the verse is saying, is it? That even as an example, as Christ gave to lay down His life for us, to demonstrate His love for us, He laid everything aside for us, didn't He? So ought we to lay down our lives, lay everything aside for our brethren. Love one another. The passage goes on, and we pick up down, look at 21, verse 21, the same passage. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever ye ask, we will receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If we want to be used of God, we ought to seek the things of God and the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So, we've laid a little bit of groundwork in the fact that you can turn back to 1 Samuel now, as we've looked at some of these things that we've asked ourselves. Am I interested in being used of God? And we hope that answer is yes. And if that answer is yes, then we ask ourselves the question, am I interested in the things of God? And we've identified this morning, some of these things of God would be God's Word. We're interested in the fact that we are giving attention to it daily, that we're taking it in, and whatever the need is in God's Word, whether we know that as we read God's Word, there's going to be times that there is exhortation. And as we read God's Word, there is going to be doctrine that we've got to process, we've got to understand it, and there's going to be commandments. And then also, we know that we're instructed in those commandments and in God's Word to lay down our lives, to love one another in a self-sacrificial way, that we're loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're seeking to do the things that are well-pleasing to the Lord. Those are the things of the Lord that we would find ourselves occupied with. And so here, David was the one that God had chosen. And really, we would have to say, would we agree that David was the unlikely choice? Evidently, people thought so, right? He wasn't even invited to the sacrifice. He wasn't even invited to be considered. And so God is interested in him. We're back in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 1. We didn't read this verse before, but let's see how we can tell that God is interested in David. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. And then here's the phrase we want to pay attention to. For I, this is God speaking, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Referring to David. God was interested in David, right? God saw in David something that he knew that he would be the man to put in for this next service that he had. And so that's the thing that we want to have in our own lives, that as God would look on us, that he would see, yeah, I want him or her for this next act of service that I've got. I want this person to do this task. You know, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. But we have another familiar verse in Acts chapter 13. In verse 22, where we read this about David, it gives us a little bit more insight about why God was interested in David. And this is Paul giving an account here, and verse 22 says, when he had removed him, speaking of Saul, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, this is God speaking, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Was God interested in David? Oh, yes, he was. He had found in David a man after his own heart is described. And not only after his own heart, but one that would fulfill all of his will. I think we could gather from that David was a man that was interested in the things of God. And as David was interested in the things of God, he saw that he was going to be obedient to fulfill all of his will. And then we know that God was with him. You're still in 1 Samuel in chapter 16, verse 18. Look at the very last phrase there. The very last phrase that we're told as Scripture records for us about David, it says, and the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. So here we see that God had looked among the children of Israel, and he saw David, and he says, there is the one I'm going to choose to be the king of Israel. Then he said, he knew David's heart, because we read earlier that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And as God had examined David's heart, he saw that he would be a man that would do all of his will. And then David, in his life, it's even noted in Scripture that the Lord was with him. Now let me ask you, is that any different? Will God deal any different with David than he would deal with you and I? Is it not possible that God would look out among his people and he could choose any one of us for a particular task? That's true, isn't it? And so, that's the same thing that happened with David. He looked out among the people and he chose himself a king. You and I, against our own standards, we might choose one or a different person for different tasks, but God's got something he's looking for. When he looked out and he said of David, here is a man, here is a person that will do all of my will. Is that possible that could be said of each one of us, you and I? We could display in our own life, couldn't we? We could display in our own life a willingness to do God's will. And then how about the third one? The Lord was with him. That's true for all of us, isn't it? The Lord's promise that as he's promised us personally, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so here's this man, David, that's going to be chosen for this task, and we think, boy, I could never be chosen to be the king of Israel. Well, I wonder if David thought that. He was interested in being used of God. He was interested in the things of God. And God chose him. You know, I'm still staggered at the times where God would choose different people to do different things. And we know that God's ways are not our ways, and they're definitely higher than our ways. But a yielded person truly does have exponential potential to be used of God. You know, I mentioned prayers for the Good News on the Move team. We were just with them, they were in Pittsburgh last week, and then the previous week we were in Westlake, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. And the Lord really gave us some tremendous opportunity that week that we think, how does the Lord work through us? And so there's a fellow there by the name of Christian Eichler. You can pray for him. He's burdened about downtown Cleveland. And so he went and got a permit and set up, he's got a permit to have a sound system right downtown Cleveland. For any of you that have been there and may be familiar with the terminal towers, it's a central place in downtown Cleveland. And there's a block that's empty, and there's no buildings on it, and it's the main thoroughfare. There's bus stops there, there's a train stop there, the subway, everything comes right into that hub, and I mean, it's people crisscrossing all the time. And so here, they had invited the Good News on the Move team out there. Now these guys are only, we just started on September 15th. We go through a 2-week orientation, time. And so they're getting this training and just kind of getting their sea legs, if you will. And so this guy, we're planning to go and do some open air preaching and passing out literature in downtown Cleveland. Well, the guys are planned, they've been through some training about how to do this. And we're thinking, you know, we're going to ease into this a little bit. Well, Christian had already gotten there and set up, and he's on the microphone, and he sees us walking up, he says, here's the Good News on the Move team, and I'm going to turn it over to them. Yeah, so there was no getting ready. It was just like, okay, here's the mic. And I want you to know that one of the young men got on the got there on the microphone and started giving out what the Lord had laid on his heart. And within a matter of just about 2 minutes, this guy, Michael, could you stand up? There was a microphone set up, and so there's people passing all along through, most people just, you know, passing right along. And here this young man is sitting there, preaching, and a guy comes up and stands about where Michael is. He was a fellow that was kind of, if I say dressed in gang garb, would you know what I meant? I mean, he had a leather hat kind of pulled down, oh, the brim turned, chained down through here, just kind of like, looked the part. And we're thinking, oh no, you know, that's, and so he's standing like literally two feet away and just staring at this guy named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, like this guy starts standing there, and Jeremiah just keeps on going. He's proclaiming the word of God. And he said, this guy started crying in front of him. And so Jeremiah didn't quite know what to do. He kind of stopped and stepped away from the mic, and he said, can I help you? Is there something you want to talk about? And the guy said, just keep going. And so he said, no. But we think, that's incredible. Here's this young guy, 20 years old, and I'm sure his knees are knocking, and he's up there, he's just proclaiming the word of truth, and this man comes, and we think this guy's a thug. We think this guy is gonna, you know, do something, we don't know. And here he starts crying. And we say, wow. A little bit later, Jeremiah finished, and he got to speak with this young man, and he says, I know I need what you're talking about. That was a 20-year-old young man, right? God can use any of us. That if we're interested in being used of the Lord, He will use us. If we yield to Him, if we give attention to the reading of His Word. And I mean, there was another fellow that, this guy is also 20 years old, and he took a 14-year-old girl, one of the elder's daughters, wanted to go, she's older than that, she's 16. A guy named Dan and a girl named Carlin, they were going door to door in the neighborhood of this affluent society. And what people say, oh, door to door doesn't work in the rich neighborhood. This guy comes to the door, big black guy comes to the door, he knocks on the door, he's on the phone, and he's like, hey, what do you guys need? And Dan, you know, says, oh, nothing. No, he didn't say that. He says, I've got a gift I want to give you. We're telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And the guy says, can you come back? I'm busy right now. He says, sure. When would you like us to come back? He said, could you come back at 8 o'clock tonight? So they end the conversation. They go. This was last Wednesday. And so here we are at prayer meeting that night, and Dan's telling about the situation. He's got this guy, his name is Mike. He says, I'm supposed to go back and see Mike at 8 o'clock tonight. So we're praying for him, and Dan and one of the other guys, Nathaniel, went back to see this fella. Now, listen to what the reception they got when they went back to this man. They go back, knock on the door, he's there, right? He invites them in, and he says this. He says, guys, I want you to sit down. This guy's 40 years old, okay? Big black fella, 40 years old, invites them in, sits them down. Here's these two young men, and he says, Mike tells them this. I want you to relax, and I'm going to listen to everything you've got to tell me. I feel like he had taken the packet because I know God's trying to tell me something, and I want to listen to what you've got to tell me. They went and they gave him about a half hour gospel presentation, and then that was at 8 o'clock. They were there till 11:15 trying to answer his questions about how he could go to heaven. He was confused about different issues and trying to grapple with, how do I know what the Bible is saying is real? How do I know this is true? The guy came back out, he came Sunday morning to hear another gospel message, and they're working with him even today. He prayed for Mike. He hasn't accepted, but he's close. God can use us, right? God can use us if we avail ourselves to him. And so if we would be interested in the things of God, God's going to look down and he's going to say, hey, I've got Mary for this task. Or I've got Billy and I want him to do this. Now, it's possible that you might say, hey, I'm not ready. You might be like Moses. Don't choose me. And try to get out of it. But God's got a plan. Kim would like to have been here today. Her grandmother is dying with cancer. In fact, she's in her 80s. She's an unbeliever. We've been praying diligently for her, and I appreciate your prayers for Lorraine Bosetter. Kim, while we were there in Ohio, her grandmother lives in Ohio. While we were there, Kim spent an afternoon with her. Just sharing the gospel again. Now, here's a granddaughter trying to tell the gospel to the grandmother. God can use you. God will use every one of us. We think, what can I do for God? It's just not in preaching the gospel, although we all got that responsibility. It's not just visiting and encouraging someone. It's not just teaching the Sunday school class. I mean, there are so many things that God wants to use us to do to accomplish his will. He's got a plan. And here he's chosen David. And we're going to look at some other things as to why perhaps God had chosen David. But just know that we've got to be interested in being used of God, and we've got to be interested in the things of God so that we can be used of God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou would take these thoughts and these verses that we've looked at, and Father, we would even pause right now and say, God, look at our hearts. What's in our heart right now? We know that You would not see as man sees, looking on the outward appearance, but God, Thou would seek to truly look at our heart. We know we can't fool Thee. Oh, Father, we hear about stories of people receiving the message of the gospel, and we say, oh, that's so great. We know even ourselves, someone brought us the message of the gospel. And Father, as we love one another, as we lay down our lives for one another, we have opportunity to build one another up. We have opportunity to share God's love with others. Father, we know that the message, the redemption message of Calvary, is the very void, the very thing that we are all looking for. Father, help us. Help us to use our talents, our time, our talents, all for the glory of Thyself. And we pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.